The last few months and weeks, I've been talking a lot about vision. Vision for our church. I started in September because I wanted to remind you of the vision of our house. I wanted to remind you of what is most important to us as a church family. I know we have had a lot of visitors. We've had a lot of new people coming through our Growth Track program. Growth Track 2 is today, by the way. We'd love to have you plug into our church right after service. So part of that is reminding everybody about the vision of this house to get you on board with our vision. And we throw that word vision around, I don't know, loosely. We throw the word vision around a lot in the church world. So to remind us of what our vision is here, the number one and most important thing is to win the lost, that people that don't know Jesus would know the Lord, or people that are far from God. Maybe they knew the Lord, but they've been away from God, would return to the Lord, or to see the power of God in healing and the prophetic and signs and wonders and miracles, to see words of prophecy released that would transform your life, which we saw just a month ago. The power of God, the presence of God. Last night, in the final, the closing worship set of the Beloved Conference, I mean, the presence of God was so thick in this place. It was tangible. So, but all of that is our church vision. How does that translate to personal vision? How does that affect me, my heart, my faith, my mind, and my tomorrow? How does it affect my marriage? How does it affect my kids, my grandkids, my finances, my work, how does it affect my everyday life? So I want to look beyond just tomorrow. And I want to look at your vision for today. What is your vision? Do you even have a vision for your life, a God-given vision? Is there a dream in your heart that you feel God has put a vision in your heart that you're praying for, you're believing into? Do you have a vision for our church? Do you have a vision for New Life Family Church, that the vision of this church is your vision, and that you're in partnership with it, and that you help us to carry that vision for the mid-cities, for Euless, for all the people, for the widows and single moms, for all the beloved women, for our youth, for our children? Do you have a vision? And here's one small problem. The church talks a lot about vision, and it's a very churchy church term, to have vision from God. But it seems like we're talking about something that's like 5 or 10 years down the road, and I'm like, dude, I need a vision for today. So today's message is called Vision for Today. See what I did there? I should do this for a living. I even had a little slide made up for you. I'm so nice. I'm good looking. And Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. So here's a key, early key. Vision is the bridge between the present and the future. Vision is going to get you to where God has called you to be. And without vision, people die, people perish, people go unrestrained. And the thing about vision is it'll help to give your pain in life a purpose. Because a lot of times we endure things and we go through bumps and scrapes and bruises, but we don't realize that that pain has a purpose. For example, if you're going to choose to climb a mountain, which I would never do, look at me. But, you know, if you were going to climb a mountain because you're fit and you see a mountain and you're like, sure, I'll climb that for some reason, I would have to assume that at some point in the mountain climb, you might miss a handhold or a foothold and scratch your knee, or get calluses or cuts on your finger when you grab a branch and it's actually a thorn bush or something. That when you climb the mountain, your vision is to stand on the top of the mountain, but you also accept the fact that along the way, there might be a little pain. There might be a boo-boo on your knee or a scratch in your hand. But it's the vision that pushes you to keep climbing even when you face a little bit of pain, because the vision is you taking the Instagram picture on the top of the mountain. And those without vision, they spend their whole lives taking the path of least resistance because they're trying to avoid any discomfort in their life. Because they have no vision for their destiny. They have no vision for 5 years from now. They have no vision for their family, no vision for their children, no vision for their personal life, no vision for their finances, no vision for their ministry. So therefore, the moment they face any kind of difficulty, they just, well, what's the easy way around this thing? Instead of plowing through the difficult season. The bigger the vision, the bigger the sacrifice that you're going to have to pay. The taller the mountain, the better the Instagram picture, the more scrapes and bruises you're going to have along the way. And I'll tell you what, sacrifice and the amount of sacrifice separates the small from the great. If you're unwilling to endure a little bit of sacrifice, then what you end up with 5 to 10 years from now won't be that exceptional. But if you're willing to endure the pain and the struggle now, it makes the sacrifice that you've paid for, the vision that you receive, that you walk out in 5 or 10 years from now, so much greater. Yeah. Let me give you an illustration. Let me put it this way. My son graduated high school a few months ago and went to college, went off to university. He's at Liberty in Virginia. But imagine if he had gone into the military, or just, you know, any young fella, 18 years old. One week they're sitting at the graduation, cutting up with their buddies and, you know, making fun of the professor and the funny hats and the whatever. You know, they're just having, you know, goof around 18-year-old guy talk, joking around. But he's enlisted in the Army. So a week later, he steps off the bus at boot camp and they shave his head, and some drill sergeant begins breaking him down and calling his mama R-rated things and making him run 5 miles just straight off the bus. But here's the deal. This young man envisioned himself not in the drab green, you know, workout clothes of boot camp. He envisioned himself in the dress uniform at his wedding. He envisioned himself going to some far and exotic land to fight for our country. He believes in America, so he wants to fight for the freedoms that we have here. So he's willing to endure the 5-mile hike right off the bus. He's willing to endure the shaming and the berating of the drill sergeant, because he's willing to endure that cross because the vision for where he wants to be a few months from now is worth it. So he's willing to go through that pain because he knows it's preparing him for the greater thing. So boot camp prepares him for a greater destiny. Sometimes in our life, we need to be willing to go through the difficult seasons, the trying seasons that the Lord leads us through, because it's got a meaning and a purpose in our life. Not just avoid it and go around the difficult thing, but embrace that difficult thing. So many of us go through our lives not understanding the purpose of the trial that we go through. And we spend our days walking along a crooked path, believing that every obstacle on the road is some sort of problem or something to be avoided, but it actually might be part of God's vision for your life. It might be something that God wants to walk you through. Did you remember the second part of that? And if you guys want to put it back up, you can or not. But Proverbs 29:19 says, "Happy is he or she, beloved girls, who keep the law." Now, the law in this case was, in literal terms, referring back to the Mosaic law, but the law in the kingdom of God is so much more than just ancient Jewish rules. The law is this godly discipline, this godly borders that God, through his kingdom and through the scriptures, puts around our life. And when we live in the law of God, sometimes we face obstacles. And the Lord doesn't want us to go around them. He wants us to go through them, because that sometimes that obstacle is like a baptism of fire that'll forge you to become something great, to become something greater than you are. You will attain the vision, you will attain the greatness, you will attain the greater thing, but you're going to go through the tough thing. You're going to go through, it's going to narrow, it's going to sharpen your vision for the greater thing. I need an example. When I talked to Josh earlier, I'd like to hit him 2 times, and he agreed, he volunteered for this. So I have a 2x4. I'm not going to lie. He actually volunteered. I said, "I'm going to hit you with a 2x4. He's like, "Okay." So this is your youth pastor. So let me hit you 2 times. So this is a 2x4. I'm just going to, you know, find some meaty part right across your back there. I'm going to hit you medium hard. Here it comes. Ready? Where to go? Got that? All right. The second hit. I didn't say the second hit was coming from the 2x4. Wait, where are you going? No, just one more hit. I said I had 2 hits. A knife will cut. Yeah. A knife will cut because its vision has been narrowed and sharpened. See what I'm saying? That's good preaching right there. You need to live your life with a vision from God that is not broad, but that has been narrowed and sharpened and focused, not just for 5 years from now, but for today. So my question is, what is your vision? What vision has God put on your heart? And remember how we opened. Vision is the bridge between your present and your future. Now, before we go into some literal, practical things on vision, I want to talk a little bit more philosophical about vision, because vision is what we see, but it's not just what we see with our eyes, it's how we see. And here's what I mean by that. Imagine you've had a pair of glasses, or maybe it's even workshop glasses or something, and you got a scratch in them, right? And every time you wear those sunglasses or those protective glasses, you see that scratch. And if you wear them long enough, you just assume that everything you look at, that everybody you look at, is scratched. But the problem is not with everybody else. The problem is with you. The same thing is true with vision. If what you're looking through is broken, is scratched, then everything you think is a lie and your vision is impaired because it comes from our hearts. Jesus said that our eyes are windows into our heart or to our soul. And Paul said that when he prayed that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened by the Spirit of God. So basically, in other words, we perceive with our eyes, we actually see with our heart. These are just for perceiving. This is how we see. So in the natural, in the physical, super practically, our mind receives images from our eyes, but our heart interprets the image. So if our heart is bitter, if our heart is full of fear, if our heart is separated from God, if our heart has been some way hurt or infected, then everything we see is like coming through that scratched lens. So even our vision is distorted, because what we're perceiving is happening might not actually be happening. So we need to not worry about our vision. We need to worry about our core beliefs, about our heart. Are they in alignment under the will of God, the kingdom of God, the word of God, the Spirit of God? It's like your operating system for your life. This week, I have an Apple computer because I'm full of the Spirit of God. So I got an email from Apple that said, hey, we've released a new operating system for your computer. You know, download, you know, whatever it is, 10 point something, 14, Mojave. And they had this big advertising campaign, click here. And I'm like, sure, I have 6 hours to watch my computer update. So click here, and I begin to download the new operating system. And you've all updated your computers, and then it shuts down, and it rewrites the software, rewrites the operating system, and rewrites the core beliefs of your computer. And then it wakes back up and goes, hi, I'm here again. I think differently. I think differently. I process differently because I've changed my core values. That's what the Word of God will do to your heart and life. It'll change your core values. So it's so important that you get your heart in alignment with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God, so that when God gives you a vision, you're not seeing it through a scratched lens. You're seeing it through the core values of what God is going to do and wants to do in your life. That it's not just things that you think about God. It's things that you know about the character and nature of God in your heart. Do you really believe that you're saved? Do you really believe in God? Do you really believe that Jesus hung on a cross, that he died, that he defeated sickness, death, hell, and the grave, that he rose again on the third day? Do you really believe that Jesus is Lord of your entire life? He's Lord of all. Do you really believe that your sins have been forgiven? Do you really believe that you're a child of God, that you're not an orphan, and that he loves you? And that he loves you, that he's so proud of you. Because that is the foundation, that is the core operating system from your life. And until you really can get down with that, everything you see in life, everything you see in your vision is gonna be distorted. But that is your core value. And it all starts with how you see God. And that's just later starts now. Like, well, I'm just waiting for God to move me to that next level. That starts now. Is there any sin in your life, in your core value system, that you're like, well, I would rather get drunk or get high or steal or lie or get angry or look at pornography or sleep with somebody I'm not married to or dabble in witchcraft or the occult or whatever. Whatever sin is your stick, whatever sets you out, and you've really believed in your heart, hey, I can still be a believer in Jesus, but in my core value, I still want to have this sinful thing. Or in my core value system, I know I'm a child of God, but I feel like I'm the redheaded stepchild of God. No offense to the red-haired people. I know I'm a child of God, but God loves them more than he loves me. You have this like orphan poverty mindset. Do you picture, when you close your eyes and you picture God, do you picture him smiling over you? Do you picture God hugging you and holding you like a proud father and saying how much he loves you? In fact, let's just literally do this. They're going to bring the lights down. Just close your eyes. Just kind of turn off, put your mind in sleep mode, turn off your notifications, and just focus on the Lord. Focus on your operating system. Focus on your core values. Just picture the Lord. Is he happy with you or is he sad with you? Is he smiling at you? Does he embrace you? Or are you in a distant place away from the Lord? Allow your heart to reveal the truth, reality. I want you to pray this prayer. You can quietly pray it out loud or just pray it in your heart. Say, Lord, show me things that I believe that are not your thoughts. Lord, show me any ungodly beliefs. Show me any thoughts that are in my operating system that don't line up with your word or your kingdom. And then if it's sinful, if it's something that you need to repent of, just say, God, forgive me. Lord, I repent for thinking those thoughts. I repent. I've got a bug in my operating system. And in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would remove that thought that has separated me and my core value from you. While your eyes are closed and you're thinking about the Lord, let's continue in this exercise. Sometimes we have no vision from God because we've never asked for one. So whatever age you are now, I want you to ask God for a vision for 5 years from now. Maybe you're single and you want to be married 5 years from now. Maybe you're married and don't have kids, but 5 years from now you want kids, or maybe another child, or maybe you've got a job but you're studying, or you're working towards a better job. Maybe you're estranged from family and you want to believe God for healing in that family relationship. Maybe you've really been walking through a time of poverty, if you will, but you're believing God for financial blessing. Maybe you've been thinking about opening or starting your own business, being an entrepreneur. Just ask the Lord. It could be 1,000 different things, but I want you to pray, and you might even need to pray this out loud, just real quietly. Lord, give me a vision for my life 5 years from now. And just let the Holy Spirit write in your mind, in your imagination. Just close your eyes. And just picture yourself, at whatever age you are, add 5 years. Now remember, God loves you. You're his favorite son, you're his favorite daughter. He wants to bless you, he wants to prosper you, he wants you to be happy. He wants you to serve in his kingdom, he wants you to win the lost, he wants you to advance the kingdom of God. And allow the Lord to speak 5 years from now. Lord, ask the Lord. Some of you are still sitting there with your eyes closed. Pray, Lord, please give me a vision of my life 5 years from now. Sometimes we don't have because we never ask. God, give me a vision of my life 5 years from now, of my family 5 years from now, of my marriage 5 years from now, of my ministry, of our church 5 years from now, of my business, of my finances, of my health, of my mind. Give me a vision, Lord, from you. I'm asking you, Lord, not to be from me, from you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that vision. All right. We're going to go transition. So go ahead and bring the lights back up. And you can fade out the super spiritual music. Remember that vision, because now we're going to do some practical implementation. Can we get practical again? Is that all right? Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. Then the Lord answered and said, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, so that whoever can read it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, 5 years from now. And it hastens towards the goal, but it will not fail. Say, it will not fail. And though it tarries, listen, New Life Family Church, wait for it. Because it will certainly come. It will not delay. See, the first part of accomplishing any vision is to take it from the unseen world and put it in the natural realm. So I want you to take out a notebook, take out your phone, and write it down. Maybe email yourself or text yourself or open a note and just jot down. I mean, if you're a verbose person, just bullet points, please. And just write down, sketch down, email yourself, text yourself. When I closed my eyes and I prayed and I asked God for a vision, I thought of A, B, C, X, Y, Z. Just a couple of quick, could be one word, two words, could be a sentence or two. What did you see when you closed your eyes and you asked God for a vision? You're taking it from the unseen world and you're literally putting it in pen, pencil, text, character, data. You're creating a blueprint. You're creating a model. You're creating a roadmap of your destination over the next 5 years. Now, what you've just written down is something that can be shared with somebody that you trust. It's something that you can pray over. It's something that you and somebody else, that you can open up your heart and let somebody encourage you in that vision. Because your vision for tomorrow starts today by writing it down. There's an old story. It's an old adage. I think it comes from Europe back when they were building those great buildings. Yeah, I'm always stunned by what they could build out of stone, you know, 500, 600, 700 years ago, these old buildings. And there's three bricklayers. And there's three guys standing shoulder to shoulder, basically all working on the same project. And a guy walks up to the first bricklayer. He says, "Hey, what you doing?" And the guy's like, "What are you, an idiot? I'm laying bricks. It's pretty obvious." Guy walks up to the next guy. Says, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he goes, "Didn't you hear the first guy? We're laying bricks. I guess I'm building a wall." Goes to the third guy. "Hey, what are you doing?" "I'm creating a beautiful cathedral to worship God." All three are doing the same work, but who do you think is going to have the better quality of work? Who do you think is going to work the hardest? By writing down your vision, you are creating a cathedral of what God is going to do in your life. You're not just laying bricks. So many Christians go through their life just laying bricks. When God wants you to build a cathedral for him to accomplish the vision for your life, to see the big picture of what God wants to do in your life. Now, next practical step, how do we create a plan of action to get you to where God wants to get you? Proverbs chapter 15 and 22 and 16:1, we'll smash them together. Here we go. Without consultation, plans are frustrated. But with many counselors, your plans will succeed. Now, the plans of the heart belong to the man, but then the answer of the tongue comes from the Lord. Now, notice in these two verses, number one, the vision has got to come from God himself. I'm not just asking for fairy tale hopes and wishes, and I sure it would be nice, golly gee. I'm asking you to quiet your heart and pray and ask the Lord for a vision for your life. And then number two, we are to help develop that plan and bring it into fulfillment by writing it down and sharing it with other counselors. So when King Solomon was giving this proverb, was giving this wisdom, he's saying you have to write that vision down and then find wise counsel. And if you don't, your plans will come to frustration. See, so many times we're like, well, I have this thought or this hope for my family, for my marriage, for a ministry, for a job opportunity, for a career, for something I want to study in school or something. And we have this vision that we think comes from God, but because we've never shared it with anybody, King Solomon says your vision is going to come to frustration. But it's when you share it, you ask wise men and women of God, people that know the word, know the kingdom, know the spirit, hey, this is what I believe God's called me to, and you share it with them. They can help to give you wise counsel to accomplish it, but here's the problem. Fear steps in and blocks your vision. You have this thing written down. You just texted yourself. You just emailed yourself. You just wrote something down in your notebook, and you look down, and you're like, dude, I will never share that with anybody, not even my spouse. Because fear has just blocked your vision. Fear says, I can't. I'm afraid. That vision that I wrote down, that's too big for me. That's too scary. That's too expensive. That's out of my reach. It's out of my control. I'm afraid today, so I'm going to destroy my vision for tomorrow. Fear is counteracted by faith. But here's the thing. Remember how we have to have wise counsel? Bad counsel, super spiritual counsel, bad theology counsel, faithless counsel will pretend to give you wise advice, but all they're doing is telling you what God can't do in your life, especially if your vision is tied to the supernatural power of God. And like, well, I that's just up to the Lord, so I doubt that could ever happen in your life. I mean, just see, Moses had the same problem when he sent 12 spies into the land of Israel. Now, for 30 seconds, for those of you that might not know the Old Testament story, the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt. You guys probably saw, what was the Let My People Go movie when you were kids? The Prince of Egypt. So the Jews were slaves in Egypt. God speaks to Moses and he said, listen, I've given the nation of Israel as a gift, as an inheritance to the Jewish people. So go down to Egypt, tell the Pharaoh, tell the king to let my people go because the Jewish people are gonna come back up and I'm gonna give them the land of Israel and they're gonna worship me and they're gonna know me. And so that all happens and Moses leads the people through the desert and he gets them up to the Jordan River. So before going into the land of Israel, he takes 12 spies, 12 guys to say, hey, listen, go into the land of Israel, take a look. What are we up against? How is this gonna fight? How is this gonna go down? And these 12 spies made a little whoopsie poo because they thought they were not being asked whether or not they should go take the land at all. And the 10 of the 12 spies came back and said, listen, it's never gonna work. It's impossible. Whether it was possible or not was not a question for debate.
That's right. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. God said, that land is yours. All I wanted you to go is have a little peek.
Yeah.
Not tell me we can't do it.
Yeah.
God said, we're gonna settle the land of Israel. So often we confuse fear with wisdom.
Yeah.
So that's where we need men and women of God, men and women of faith, to come alongside of us and say, hey, with God, all things are possible. How many marriages have ended in divorce because people were too afraid? God can't fix this marriage.
Right.
How many times have we lived in poverty because wisdom says we're always gonna be poor and I can't quite see how we're ever gonna get out of this poverty mindset? So we think we're being wise, but instead we're just giving in to fear.
Yeah.
So I remind you, you have to take your vision that you have written down and take it to somebody with wise counsel, but you also need to guard and protect that vision because we're not asking the vision to be rewritten. We're simply asking for faith steps to get it to be accomplished. Because the power of the kingdom of this world, the power of the religious world, the power of the church says, oh, bless God, little brother. I know that you believe God's gonna do great things in your life, little buddy, but you're not the kind of person that God does great things through. We're not asking for you to rewrite the vision. I'm asking for you to give me faith-filled steps. I don't need man's wisdom. I've already gotten God's wisdom. I just simply need some godly, biblical advice. Now, here's the other problem. We're like, we step off of faith, conquering fear, and we're like, I'm gonna go see God's vision in my life, and then we get a boo-boo on our knee. Or we grab a thorn bush as we're climbing that mountain. And we're like, oh, I guess this wasn't God's plan for my life. Just because you have a setback does not mean you're not still in the perfect will of God. You keep climbing. All right, for time, we got to move on, Brad. Practical steps, set goals. After you've established a plan of where you're headed, you got to set goals. Philippians chapter 3 and 4, verse 14 says, I press on towards the... Or not, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. We'll try that again. I press on towards the
goal.
So you have to set goals. Let's say you were gonna remodel a house and you're just overwhelmed because every surface needs to be replaced or painted or whatever. Or let's say you were gonna try to lose, you know, 20 or 30 pounds. Or let's say you were gonna try to run, you know, a marathon for some reason. Or let's say... Let's say you were gonna like, I'm gonna write a book, or I'm gonna write 5 books, or I'm gonna do this thing, and it's like, I'm gonna try to eat an elephant. Well, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You need a goal, take one bite. You need a goal, you know, stop eating sugar. You need a goal, go back to school. You need a goal, get in line for the development, for the promotion at work. You need a goal, buy a book on how to start a new business. You need a goal. So you start with one little bite, one little step in the right direction. Your 5-year vision will happen Monday morning by one little goal that you step and you meet. Because part of the vision of God for tomorrow starts today by setting one little goal. Now here's the deal. Who likes to fail? Woo! I don't have time to go into all the illustrations, but How many times did Thomas Edison figure out what does not create a light bulb? Feel me? You're going to do a lot of things in your direction. You're moving towards that goal for your life, for your marriage, for your finances, for your health, for your mind, for your ministry, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your destiny, for this church, for the mid-cities. You're going to move in that direction and you're going to make mistakes. But there's an old adage in business that says if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. See, great leaders know that all you have to do is just set little goals, because what a little goal will do is give you a sense of urgency. Like, oh, crud, I didn't lose any weight. I didn't write a chapter. I didn't make any more money. I didn't see my kids know the Lord more. Urgency is your friend. Urgency for the goal to be accomplished is your friend, because it keeps you motivated. Hey, I got to keep moving forward. I got to keep taking steps of faith. I got to keep moving forward. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9 says, "The mind of the man will plan his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." So every day your vision starts like this: Lord, direct my steps today. Lord, help me to accomplish my goals today. And if I don't, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and I'm going to start all over again on the goals that God's put in my heart. So it's not just having the vision, but it's having a plan, and it's having little individual goals that the Lord is going to direct your steps. You're going to love this next verse. Ready? Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps, the goals of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And when he falls, because we're all going to fall, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one that holds his hand. See, you can move boldly towards a vision that God has put on your heart, and you can move boldly down the plan, and you can take one step towards the first goal, and if you blow it, it's okay, because God is holding your hand. You will not fall. He is your day-to-day, your ride or die, your all day, every day. God has got your hand. Don't let go. Step by step, moment by moment, hour by hour, you're holding on to the hand of God to accomplish the vision of God. Remember, history is at stake. The history, the future destiny. We tell stories about New Life from 5 years ago when we were this tiny, tiny little church. But we had a vision in our hearts to build a great church in Euless that saw hundreds and thousands of people born again. And we're not there, but we're a lot further down the road towards there than we were 5 years ago. So whatever the vision that God's put on your heart, you step out in faith and you're just going to keep moving in that direction. See, now we tell old stories about the old days of New Life like it's ancient history. It's just a few years ago. But when you walk out in faith to accomplish what God has put on your heart, you are creating history. You're a history maker for the kingdom of God. For your children, for our church, for your grandchildren, for the people that you're gonna win to the Lord. See, here's my frustration as a pastor, and I'm just gonna be honest with you. We have boiled church, we've boiled pastoring down to just counting sheep, and please don't backslide and get a divorce and split the church. So we spend all of our time like just trying to babysit thumb-sucking baby Christians to not be stupid. And I'm over here like, dude, there's gotta be more than that. There's gotta be the ability to raise up an army of men and women of God that are so passionate about the things of God that they win the lost wherever they go. They pray for the sick and they see miracles. That it's gotta be more than just the lowest common denominator. It's not how low can we set the bar spiritually, it's how high can we set the bar as a church. I wanna be challenged to climb great mountains for God with you. Together we can do it. But we have to stop lowering the bar of our spiritual faith. The old t-shirt, "I love Jesus, but I cuss a little." I don't cuss anymore. Josie, on the other hand, she says she's speaking Swedish, but hop up on your feet. Let's pray. Final thought. Found this quote. I don't know who P.K. Bernard is, but listen. He said, "A man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a future will always return to his past. I don't know who P.K. Bernard is, but that dude should write a book. Some of you are like, oh, he has. He's written 6 books. I don't know. Let me say it again. A man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a future will always return to his past. How many times after crying out to God and saying, oh, Lord, I got drunk again, or I got high again, or I slept with somebody I wasn't married to again, or I skipped church, or I flipped somebody off on 183, or I did that terrible thing again. God, I'm so sorry. You need a vision for your life. You need a vision. God, speak to my heart. Show me where you want me to be in 5 years. Show me the man of God, the woman of God that you've called me to be so that I can write down a plan. I can get godly counsel and wisdom to help me formulate that plan in faith. And then I can begin taking steps, goals, little by little to accomplish that plan in my life, in my family, in my marriage, in my heart, in my finances, in my health, in my work, in my ministry, in my life group, in my church. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the visions that you shared with people today. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I help bless and protect those visions from the devil that would try to come and lie and say, that was your own wild imagination. That was not God. Lord, we know that if it's good, it comes from you. If it's good, if it's for people to be born again, if it's for marriages to be healed, it's for kids to be saved, it's for lives to forever be changed by the gospel, the devil doesn't give us those wild ideas. It only comes from you. If it's for us to learn new things, move further in what you've called us to do, write books, open, start churches, plant life groups, get married, have kids, whatever it is, that vision that you've put in our hearts, become a missionary. Lord, help me to believe and trust you. With every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody moving around, let's go back to the core values. You can't have a vision from God if you don't believe in God, if you don't have the Lord living in your heart, if the operating system of heaven is not your operating system. The nice thing is, we're gonna give you an opportunity to pray and ask the Lord for a system update where he's gonna delete all the old garbage of sin and unbelief and selfishness and that path that the devil's led you down. You're gonna repent of your sin and say, Jesus, come into my heart and write a new operating system of eternal life in my heart so that my visions, my thoughts can be filtered through heaven, through the kingdom of God. Friend, that starts with you repenting of your sin, realizing that your sin has separated you from God. And you need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you and to pray and ask Jesus to become the Lord of your life and the Lord of your heart. Now, this might be the first time in your life you've ever prayed a prayer like this, or maybe it'd be the first time in a long time because it's been a minute since you've been in church. Maybe as a younger person, you had prayed a prayer like that, but you've really strayed and you've walked away from the Lord. God loves you so much, and he's not mad at you for your sin. He's not mad at you that you're far from him, but he is knocking on the door of your heart right now saying, come on, open your heart, repent of your sin. Lay down your life so that I can give you eternal life. So I'd like to lead you in that prayer. And before we do, I'd like to know who I'm praying for. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if it's your first time or maybe the first time in a long time and you want to pray that prayer, would you raise your hand up real high right now and say, preacher, pray for me. I got to get right with God today. Just raise your hand up real high so I know who I'm praying for. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Come on, raise them up. I see your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I saw 4 or 5 hands go up. Why don't we all pray this together? I mean, you've got to believe it, but I'll lead you. Let's pray out loud. Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I repent. I turn my back on my selfish ways, and I turn towards you and your godly ways, ways of holiness, ways of hope, ways of love, ways of life. Keep praying. Lord, give me a vision of my life 5 years from now. of this church 5 years from now. Help me to write it down. Help me to make a plan. Help me to make goals and hold my hand so that if I fall, you hold me up and I'll try again. In Jesus' name. Hey, for the 4 or 5 of you that prayed that prayer for the first time and the first time in a long time, come on, man, that's the best decision you'll ever make.